This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. An important piece of legislation, at least for some local families and to the bill's sponsor, is on its way to the governor's desk, and that's a measure sponsored by State Representative Dan Swanson. So I thought we'd talk to him about that tonight and maybe some other issues if we have time. And Representative Swanson joins us on the line now. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, thank you, Will. Thanks for reaching out, and good to be speaking with you.
Yeah, great to speak with you as always, sir, and especially here on a good note where an important piece of legislation that you helped sponsor and co-authored has almost become law here.
Absolutely, and gosh, if it wouldn't have been for Tracy and Lily and Randy coming forward and saying, hey, this is something we'd like to try and help other families to correct this. This would not have happened. So they came to me with an idea, and we were able to put it into law soon.
We're talking about the Parlier family. For those who may not know, we've talked about them and this measure a number of times on our program. Lily Parlier has spinal muscular atrophy, and your legislation helps test for that, correct?
Absolutely. What the legislation will provide is that children at childbirth, when their heel is pricked and a blood sample is taken to test for many different illnesses, SMA will be added to that list of diseases tested. So, if we can just help identify it early, that's the key with SMA. Within that first 6 months of life, to be able to identify it, we can begin treatment immediately and help that newborn out.
Spinal muscular atrophy is a neuromuscular disease similar to muscular dystrophy and other things. And man, just in the last few weeks and few months here, I think thanks to some treatments that Lily has been getting, she's really doing well, isn't she?
Oh, it's just so cool to go to Lily's website and to her Facebook page and see the progress this little girl is making. It's just so heartwarming to see her be able to pull herself up on the couch now,
where yeah.
Just 6 months ago it was a struggle just to move across the living room floor. And progress is tremendous with the drug that she's using or receiving. It's called Spinraza, and it's just a wonderful drug for her.
Of course, now, as we all know with children, Dan, now that she's up and moving, Lord knows what's going to happen, right?
Well, one thing Tracy and I have had a conversation. Don't tell Lily no.
Yeah.
Don't tell. She'll do it. She'll prove you wrong every time.
Yeah, kind of like some of your colleagues down there at the Capitol, right?
Absolutely.
We talk about the testing being done for this, and maybe it's something that hadn't always been thought of in the past, but are we aware of other things like this that could be tested for that's not necessarily required yet in addition to spinal muscular atrophy? I imagine some of that might have played into this legislation too, did it?
Well, actually, there are quite a few different tests done with that little sample of blood.
Yeah.
And that list grows almost annually, I believe, as we find new treatment and we identify new diseases. Those particularly that we can catch at childbirth, we try and get them added to the list. And with this, unfortunately, the effective date is not until 1 July 2020, but that's because the IDPH and the laboratories have to do some retooling and new test equipment so that they begin doing this test.
Yeah. So, that I imagine could help make things a heck of a lot easier once all the procedures and protocols and whatnot are addressed here.
Absolutely, and as you mentioned, there may be new ones that we identify in future years too. That that childbirth and pricking their heel and taking that little sample of blood has proved to be so valuable in some of the treatment care of our young people.
Absolutely. And in the particular story here with the Parliers, there have been a couple of times where they could and a couple of times where they couldn't testify before committee hearings in this matter. But it almost sounded to me like while it's good to hear from them, you almost didn't need them to get this measure passed.
Well, Lily's testimony and Lily's attendance, the first time Lily testified was in front of a Senate committee hearing last fall, and
right.
She stole the show. She grabbed the microphone away from her mom and started to jabber into the microphone and just warmed everyone's heart.
If I had done that, Capitol Police would have taken me away, so lucky her.
Absolutely.
and I imagine, and I saw on Facebook where the Parliers thanked you immensely last night. That must be really kind of the perfect example of constituent service, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, just warms me to know that I've been able to help the Parliers, and I'm sure you've been tracking the Lyme disease bill that
just
passed through the Senate, and we may talk about that here a little bit later on. But just again today, I was able to get the Silver Alert bill through the House. So we've got three bills sitting and just waiting for the governor's signature.
That's got to be awfully gratifying in terms of all three of those measures.
Absolutely. It's, whether it's helping a little child at birth or helping people of all ages with Lyme disease, or looking out for our veterans and active duty members who have some of the struggles of mental health issues or just some of the physical difficulties. If we can possibly save a life with the Silver Alert bill, it's well worth the time and energy to and motivation to get those across the goal line and get them on the governor's desk for signature.
And that Silver Alert bill was one that pretty much passed unanimously through both chambers, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Along with the Lyme disease bill that was passed, I had one no vote in the House and one present vote in the House, but it passed unanimously in the Senate. And I just carried the legislation. There are some great, wonderful people who have Lyme disease who were very vocal, and that's attributed to a young lady in Aledo, to Lauren Russell, Lyme disease Prevention and Protection Act, named after her.
And I know we've talked about that before, but for folks who don't know, that basically kind of helps people get treatment here for Lyme disease as opposed to having to go miles and miles away, right?
Right. I've had people reach out to me and say thank you because they've been traveling to Germany for care.
Wow.
People are going to Mexico for care. So, and people have lost their homes and lost their possessions just in trying to take care of a family member. It's just devastating, some of the stories from some of the people with this Lyme disease. So it sets up a task force also. And in my discussion with the Illinois Department of Public Health is, we need to spend more time counting the noses and taking care of the noses of those people inflicted with Lyme disease instead of counting the ticks that we find out in the timbers. We know we have ticks. We know we have Lyme. Let's treat the patients.
Yeah, I find it so hard to believe that that it's been so difficult for people to get treatment here in their backyard. Was there a lot of resistance to this bill?
Some resistance. The three main agencies that I had to work with, Illinois Department of Public Health and the regulations, those people who provide the licensing for medical doctors, were opposed to it, and also the Illinois State Med Society was opposed. But once we came to the table, we had several stakeholder meetings. Scott Reimers, who represents the Illinois State Med Society, came out, met with some of the constituents in my office, and to gather a better appreciation of what we were trying to do, went back to the Med Society. We had a stakeholders meeting. We drafted language. The Med Society was it was amazing. We started this on the 5th of March, and we had legislation passed just this past Tuesday for our Lyme people.
Yeah, that's great, and at least it's good to know that at least some of the stakeholders kind of changed their tunes, if you will, on this measure.
Right, right. The Department of Financial and Regulations still were opposed. Some agencies you can never get on your side. Illinois Department of Public Health After we began our discussions with them, they became very proactive, or more proactive, I should say, in helping with Lyme awareness. And I believe their website now includes more information than before on Lyme disease and tick awareness. So little Lauren Russell and her mom, Jennifer, were the primary, along with several other folks, but have already made awareness across the state of Illinois, made a strong impression.
Dan, if you have a few more minutes, I'm going to take a break here, and then we'll talk about some other issues here a bit later on, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm about at mile marker 70-something, so I've got quite a few more miles to
We are taping this conversation as Representative Swanson is coming back from Springfield after some session time at the Capitol. And I hope you're wearing the wireless ear device to talk to me here.
Yes, that's right.
There you go. At 5:40, we will talk more with Representative Swanson, but we'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll have sports and more next as Galesburg's Evening News continues on WGIL. Galesburg's Evening News continues on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. We talked about a couple of measures State Representative Dan Swanson sponsored and got passed in the legislature in our first segment at 5:10 today. So we thought we'd take our next segment here and talk a little bit more about some other issues going on, if that's okay with you, Representative Swanson.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Some news came out today. The governor this week has been talking about the Quincy Veterans Home once again and some work that they and the city will be partnering on to try to continue to combat that Legionnaire's disease situation. But Speaker Madigan today came out and said that in terms of the governor's proposals to spend $230 million to try to fix this, that Madigan wants more details on it and say that Democrats have, quote, concerns and questions before they'll even consider spending all this money. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's been many committee hearings, which I've been a part of, and many of the majority party members have been very vocal about we need to move forward and provide more for our veterans at Quincy. And the timing now is that we've got a commitment from federal government to get 75% of what we need to do in Quincy funded by the federal government. So timing is somewhat of the essence. But, I think that everyone has the motivation to make things better there in Quincy, whether it's building a new building, which I believe, which is part of the proposal, 230-bed unit, I believe. Also, one course of action, or one plan, is to buy a Sycamore nursing home, which is currently vacant now, and we'd move some veterans to that vacant building and occupy that, because there will require some demolition on current property to make room for a new building. Mm-hmm. And as the governor has already talked with Quincy, is a new water supply system to bring to the Quincy nursing home or veterans home.
Speaker Madigan, I guess, in this statement today, claims that for the last few years, the governor has shifted blame, hidden the truth, and failed to act on this measure. And I think while there might be some criticism about how this was handled and how this information was first relayed to the public about this outbreak, it seems to me that maybe the governor has been more forward on this in some aspects than maybe the speaker's giving him credit for.
Well, it is certainly going to be an election topic, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the governor is moving forward. Things are progressing. We haven't had, a knock on wood, any Legionella cases in quite some time at Quincy. And, the governor and the speaker can have their ways. My view is we need to fix it. There's bridge that's already passed under or water already passed under that bridge. Let's move forward to what we know we have to do now and get things fixed the correct way. And, we've installed filters on our water faucets and every water device at Springfield or at Quincy. And, we still continue to take the temperature of the veterans every 4 hours to ensure we don't have any temperature spikes. And you know, a lot of things have been done, a lot of protocols instituted to ensure the safety and protections of our veterans at Quincy.
In terms of the overall budget situation, I guess there was a leaders meeting yesterday, and Senate President Cullerton came out afterwards and said it looks like both sides are getting closer, but there's still a lot of work yet to be done. What have you been told about the situation, and do you think a budget will be voted on before the end of May?
I have confidence that there will be a budget voted on before the end of May, and coming from our leadership and coming from the team that's working on the budget, there's a lot more optimism than even last year. And a lot of great discussions have happened between caucus members with their discussions in closed doors. And Leader Durkin was very optimistic over, there's been a couple of the leadership meetings, and very positive with the discussions just between the governor and the four leaders of the caucuses, the House and the Senate. So I'm very optimistic. You know, once the details are worked out, we'll get all that out and share. But there's a lot of good optimism going on right now.
Is there
the direction of the budget?
Is there anything you're concerned about, though, as time goes on here? Are there still things you'd like to see or like to see change that maybe haven't come to fruition yet?
Well, one of the things is ensure we do fund our schools as we said we would with the adequacy funding model, to ensure that we continue to make payments on time. You know, we still get calls. Fortunately, working with a team of other representatives, we were able to get some money released for our extension offices to fund our 4-H programs. But, you know, those are the things that our senior centers have taken a backseat to some funding. And, you know, we need to get that budget passed so we have stability and be able to continue to provide the services that we need to our seniors and those who need the assistance.
All right. On that note, I think I'm about out of time. So we'll keep in touch with you and your colleagues as you get closer to the end of the month here. When do you go back into session?
Head back Monday, and we're there through the 31st of May.
Oh, how exciting.
Absolutely. Fortunately, last year on Memorial Day weekend, we had got Saturday off so I could go home and marry my son and my wonderful new daughter-in-law, and had to get back Sunday. I didn't get to stick around for opening the presents, but we'll see what happens this Memorial Day weekend.
Well, regardless of what happens, congratulations to your family on that anniversary there, and have a safe continued trip back to this area.
Well, thank you, Will, and always a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. State Representative Dan Swanson on Galesburg's Evening News. Kim Commando and sports coming up on WGIL.